All right, everyone, get ready for a deep dive today into a legal case that, well, let's just say it still gets people fired up. Ricci v. DiStefano. And this one, it's not just about some firefighters trying to climb the ranks. No, this case really makes us rethink how we view diversity in hiring and anti-discrimination laws. Like, what do those even mean in practice, you know?
Yeah, it's a real head scratcher. Because what we have here, it's almost like two fundamental legal ideas are going head to head. You got disparate treatment, you got disparate impact, and Ricci, you can't even start to unpack it without understanding how these two concepts are, well, they're basically fighting each other.
Okay, so paint a picture for our listeners. It's 2003, we're in New Haven, Connecticut, and the fire department, they need some new lieutenants, some new captains. So pretty standard, right? They hold exams for these promotions. Simple enough, right? Except the results. Well, they didn't exactly put out the fire, so to speak.
Yeah, things got a little heated, to say the least, because you had a big difference in who passed those exams, like along racial lines, and now the city. They're stuck in this unethical, I don't know, what do you even call that?
A mess.
Like, if they go with the exam results, boom, lawsuit for disparate impact, probably. But if they say, nope, tossing these results out, well, now they're discriminating against the folks who studied hard, passed fair and square, guys like Frank Ricci. Talk about a no-win situation.
Yeah. So let's break down this legal tug of war, like really get into it. How do these two big ideas, disparate treatment and impact, how do they actually play out in a scenario like this?
Okay, so the foundation here is Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. And what it basically says is you can't go around discriminating in employment based on race, color, religion, sex, national origin, the whole nine yards. Now, disparate treatment, that's the more straightforward one. It's like, you're intentionally discriminating. You don't promote someone because of their race, flat out. Disparate impact. This is where it gets tricky. It's when a rule, a policy, it looks neutral, but in reality, it ends up hurting a protected group more than others.
So in New Haven's case, they were worried that if they just used those exam results, straight up, well, hello, disparate impact lawsuit, right? But by throwing out the results, they alienated the firefighters who felt like, hold on, I did everything right, and now I'm being punished because of my race.
Yeah.
Talk about illegal and ethical.
Minefield. Yeah, a minefield.
So now the Supreme Court, they're the ones who have to figure this out. And the question they're wrestling with is huge. When can an employer, any employer, take actions that are, let's say, aware of race to try and fix these potential disparities, but without breaking the law? And what they say, did they give us like a clear answer, a rule book for this kind of thing?
Well, the majority opinion, Justice Kennedy wrote this one, it introduces this idea of a strong basis in evidence standard. So basically it's on the employer now. They got to prove that if they didn't take action, they'd for sure be facing that disparate impact lawsuit. It's not enough to just be worried about it. You need like cold, hard evidence that what you're doing is the only way to avoid discrimination.
So New Haven, did they meet this strong basis in evidence test in the court's eyes?
They did not. Nope. Yeah. The court looked at it and said those exams, they were related to the job. They met the, what was it called, business necessity. Basically, they were legit. And on top of that, New Haven couldn't show that there was some other way to do things that wouldn't have this discriminatory effect. So just being scared of a lawsuit, not going to cut it, according to the court.
A big ruling, no doubt. But I got to ask, what about the folks who thought New Haven had the right idea, that those disparities in the exam results, those were a problem that needed fixing? Justice Ginsburg, from what I understand, she had some thoughts on all this, some pretty strong thoughts.
Oh, absolutely. Justice Ginsburg's dissent, it's super important here. She basically argues that the majority, they got it all wrong. They're actually undermining what Title VII was trying to do, which is prevent discrimination in the workplace. Tossing those results, she saw it as a legitimate attempt to avoid making those racial disparities in the fire department even worse.
So she's pushing back against this idea that if you just follow the rules, you know, the rules that seem neutral, everything will be fair and dandy, especially when those rules are being used in a system where, let's be honest, there's a lot of inequality baked in already.
Exactly. And she makes a great point. Relying on written tests, especially for jobs that need a whole bunch of different skills, well, that might not really show you who's the best candidate.
Yeah.
Especially if some groups, historically, they haven't had the same chances to get a good education or practice for those tests, you know?
Yeah, that's a critical point. She's saying discrimination, it's more complex than just did someone do something intentionally bad. Yeah. Got to look at the whole context, the historical stuff, the societal stuff, because that can lead to unfair outcomes even when a rule seems neutral on the surface.
Right, and she wasn't alone in this. There were a lot of people who said, Ricci, this could really discourage efforts to make workplaces more diverse. They argued that this strong basis in evidence thing, it might make employers too scared to do anything about racial imbalances, even if their hearts are in the right place.
So what we have here is a clash between, on the one hand, the majority focusing on individual rights, making sure no one's getting reverse discrimination.
Yeah.
And then Justice Ginsburg, on the other hand, saying, look, we got to tear down these systemic barriers. We got to create genuine equality of opportunity. What a fascinating, what is this? A legal and ethical
showdown.
Yeah,
it really is. Ricci forces us to really think hard about how we balance these competing interests, individual rights versus fixing these historical and systemic
injustices.
Yeah, injustices. And there are no easy answers.
It sure doesn't seem like it. So a lot to unpack here, obviously. Where do we go from here with all this?
Well, next, I think we got to dive into the lasting impact of Ricci v. DiStefano. Like, how has this case changed the way employers make decisions, even years after the ruling came down? How are they dealing with this strong basis and evidence hurdle? And what lessons can we, especially us legal folks, what can we learn from this whole ordeal?
All right, listeners, get ready, because we're about to explore the long shadow of Ricci v. DiStefano. So we're back. And we're still knee-deep in Ricci v. DiStefano. And I got to say, I'm betting a lot of our listeners, they're already seeing how this case, it's like this legal earthquake that's still shaking things up in employment law, even today. But let's move on a bit, shall we? Let's dig into what Ricci means in the long run, you know, the lasting impact. What are the big lessons here for, say, employers, legal teams, anyone trying to figure out this whole diversity thing without stepping on a legal landmine?
Well, one of the, I guess you could say, unintended consequences of Ricci is that it's made some folks shy away from diversity programs altogether. Like, employers are now super cautious, maybe even a little scared, to do anything that takes race into account. Because, well, that strong basis and evidence standard, that's a high bar to clear.
So it's not just about avoiding, like, blatant discrimination anymore, right? It's like this balancing act where you got to make sure your policies don't accidentally create a disparate impact, but you also got to be ready to prove with, like, receipts and everything, that what you're doing is absolutely necessary.
Exactly. It's a lot to keep track of, that's for sure. And honestly, it's changed the legal game for a lot of companies. Like, we've seen this huge increase in pre-employment testing, assessments, all that, because companies are trying to, you know, cover their bases. They want those hiring practices to be totally squeaky clean, job related, and backed up by data. So if someone comes knocking with a lawsuit, they can say, look, we did our homework.
So it's like they're trying to build that strong basis in evidence from the get-go, you know, have all that data and expert analysis ready to go just in case. But doesn't all this emphasis on standardized testing, doesn't that, I don't know, maybe hurt the people who didn't have the same opportunities? Like, maybe they couldn't afford fancy test prep or something?
Yeah.
This kind of goes back to what Justice Ginsburg was saying in her dissent, right?
Yeah. You're absolutely right to bring that up. It's a real concern. Because even though these tests, they're supposed to be neutral, they might actually end up making those existing inequalities even worse, you know?
Yeah.
If you come from a background where you haven't had the same access to education, resources, all that, well, you're probably not going to perform as well on those tests, even if you're just as qualified for the job.
It's kind of like a, what's the word, a paradox, right? You're trying to be fair, you're trying to be objective, but the way you're doing it, it might actually be reinforcing the very problem you're trying to fix.
Yeah.
So how are legal teams dealing with this? It sounds like a real puzzle.
Yeah, it is. Legal teams are having to think outside the box here, come up with creative solutions. They're working hand in hand with HR to design these, like, comprehensive diversity programs that go beyond just checking boxes. It's not just about, you know, having a certain percentage of employees from different backgrounds. They're focusing on things like unconscious bias training, creating mentorship opportunities, and doing more outreach to communities that are underrepresented, that kind of thing.
So it's about a more holistic approach, I guess you could say. One that recognizes that standardized tests, they're not perfect, and that we need to address those systemic barriers that prevent people from competing on a level playing field. It sounds like Ricci has really pushed the legal field to think harder about how to achieve meaningful diversity, not just, you know, going through the motions.
Absolutely. It's not just about avoiding lawsuits anymore. It's about really creating a more inclusive workplace, a more just system overall.
Now, let's zoom out a bit. How has this case impacted the legal world as a whole? Did it change anything with, say, affirmative action policies?
Oh, Ricci definitely made waves in the whole affirmative action debate. Now, it didn't overturn affirmative action entirely, but it did make it harder to use. That strong basis in evidence rule. It's been applied to other cases where affirmative action policies were being challenged. So now it's not enough to just say, we want to increase diversity. You got to have solid proof that there was actual discrimination happening in the past.
So the effects of Ricci are still being felt today, basically. And what about legal scholarship, academia, all that? What are the legal scholars saying about Ricci?
Well, let's just say Ricci has given legal scholars a lot to talk about. There are tons of articles, books, debates, all analyzing this decision, trying to figure out what it means, what the long-term consequences will be. Some legal experts, they say Ricci signals a shift away from race-conscious policies, that we're moving toward a more colorblind approach to the law. But others, they say it's too early to tell, that we need to see what the court does with affirmative action cases in the future to really know what direction we're headed in.
So it sounds like Ricci v. DiStefano has basically opened up this whole new chapter in the discussion about how to achieve equality, how to create a truly just system in a country that's, let's face it, still dealing with the effects of racial discrimination. It's a case that's had a huge impact on how lawyers work, how policies are made, and even how we think about these issues in general.
It really has. It's a case that forces us to confront some really tough questions. What are individual rights? What does fairness look like for groups? And what role should the law play in all of this?
It's a lot to think about, that's for sure. But before we get too deep in the weeds, let's switch gears a bit and talk about the human side of this case. You know, Frank Ricci, the firefighter who was at the center of all this, he became kind of a symbol of reverse discrimination for some people. What happened to him after the case, and how does he feel about all this now, looking back?
Well, Frank Ricci, he kept working for the New Haven Fire Department, and he eventually became a captain. He's talked about the case a lot over the years, and his main point has always been that the city was wrong to throw out those exam results, that he and the other firefighters who passed, they were just fighting for a system that was based on merit, on who was the most qualified.
It's a good reminder that behind all these legal arguments, behind all these abstract ideas, there are real people whose lives are being impacted, sometimes in big ways. Ricci v. DiStefano wasn't just a theoretical debate. It was about the hopes and dreams of individuals who felt like they were caught in the middle of this huge societal struggle.
It's easy to forget that sometimes when you're talking about legal principles and precedents. But yeah, at the end of the day, law is about people, about how those principles play out in their lives.
So we've covered a lot of ground here. We've talked about the background of the case, the different arguments, what the court decided, the impact it's had, and even the personal stories of the people involved. Ricci v. DiStefano, it's a case that keeps coming up, keeps making us think, keeps sparking debate. But as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, what's the one big takeaway you want our listeners to remember?
I think the most important thing to remember is that Ricci, it's not just some dusty old case from the past. It's still relevant. It's still shaping how we think about diversity, inclusion, and the law itself. It forces us to ask hard questions, to consider different viewpoints, and to work towards a future where everyone has a real chance to succeed, regardless of their background.
Well said. That's a great point to keep in mind.
Mm.
And speaking of keeping things in mind, we always like to leave our listeners with something to ponder, something to spark some more discussion. So here's a question. What if?
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. We've spent this episode really getting into the nuts and bolts of Ricci v. DiStefano. It's a case that, you know, it really shows you just how tough it can be for employers to try and balance, on one hand, wanting a diverse workforce, which is a good thing, right? And on the other hand, not getting tripped up by all the ins and outs of anti-discrimination law.
Yeah, talk about a tightrope walk. Ricci threw a real curveball, and I think we're still feeling the effects of it today. Before we wrap things up, I want to bring it back to our listeners, especially those of you who are in the legal field. What are the big lessons you should take away from Ricci? Like, the stuff you got to remember no matter what.
Okay, for all the lawyers out there, the ones advising businesses, Ricci is a wake-up call. Like, you can't just rely on good intentions. It's not enough to say, oh, we saw some racial disparity, so we decided to, you know, make things right. You got to have a rock-solid legal reason for any decision you make, especially when it comes to hiring and promotions. And that strong basis in evidence standard, that's not just a suggestion, it's the law.
So companies, they need to be proactive, right? Whatever selection process they're using, tests, interviews, anything like that, it all needs to be clearly tied to the job, fair to everyone, and, well, they need proof. No more winging it, basically.
Exactly. And document everything. Like, why did you choose this specific test? Did you take steps to reduce bias? If you end up in court, you need to be able to show step by step that you weren't just reacting to the number. You had a good reason for everything you did.
And what about the law students listening in? You're the future of the legal world, so what's the Ricci lesson for you?
You know, this case, it's like a crash course in how to interpret laws, how to figure out what they really mean. You've got Title VII, and its goal is to fight discrimination, but also create equal opportunities. And sometimes those two goals, they clash. And Ricci shows us how the courts try to balance these
competing goals.
Yeah, competing goals, because it's like the court is saying diversity, yes, but not if it means treating individuals unfairly. But then how do you actually make those two things work together? That's the real puzzle.
And Ricci, it doesn't give us all the answers, does it?
Not by a long shot. In fact, it raises even more questions. Like, can you ever really make a decision that's completely colorblind when our society, well, it's been shaped by racial inequality for, well, forever, Ricci doesn't say. And that's something, you know, that's a question future lawyers are going to have to keep wrestling with.
We've analyzed the facts, the legal arguments, the court's reasoning. But as always, here on The Deep Dive, we'd like to leave our listeners with something to think about. Something that maybe sparks a conversation or two. So here's a question. What if?
Imagine you're running a company and, you know, just statistically, that certain groups don't always do as well on certain types of tests. And you know that any test you use, someone could sue you over it. So is it even possible to design a system for hiring, for promotions that's both, you know, legally sound and helps you create a diverse workforce? Ricci seems to say it might be possible, but it's going to be really, really hard.
That's a challenge, for sure. It's almost like Ricci is throwing down a challenge, not just for employers, but for all of us. How do we build a system that's fair to everyone, where individuals get a fair shake, but also a system that promotes real equality of opportunity? It's a tough question, but man, is it an important one.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And with that, well, I guess that's about it for our deep dive into Ricci v. DiStefano. It's a case that, well, let's just say it keeps lawyers up at night, and it should make all of us think about these really fundamental questions about, you know, individual rights versus what's good for society as a whole.
So true. Ricci, it's not just some legal case. It's a reflection of some of the biggest challenges we face as a society. And figuring this stuff out, well, that's on all of us.
Well said.
Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive, everyone. And remember, every deep dive, it's a chance to learn something new, a chance to stretch your brain a little. So keep exploring, keep asking those tough questions, and we'll catch you next time.